most of us can't, just because you have to actually practice and develop that muscle. Now, I wonder, how many people think I'm stuck? Well, okay, I got it. All right. I would do a split, but my pants will split, okay? Okay. So an outer rhythm of some sort of a sound can actually help you to meditate. Another thing you can do is an inner rhythm. Inner rhythm, again, relates back to either watching the rhythm of your breathing, but also your heart. You can actually meditate on the sound of your own heart, like your pulse. Put your hand over your heart center and just be with that breathing. Be with that heart center as a meditation, because you're tuning in to the rhythm of your own life that way. All right. The last note about meditation for today is mantra. How many here have practiced mantra before? Okay. Who has never practiced mantra before? Okay. Most people have not practiced mantra. Mantra is one of my favorites because it keeps the mind occupied, it creates a sound, and when you don't feel so much like meditating, it makes you feel like you're actually doing something. Okay, so mantra is a repetitive sound or a repetitive phrase of some sort. For example, a common mantra would be, I am. You're just making a statement about your existence, that you're here. You might sit down, get in a meditative posture, and repeat to yourself slowly, I am. I am. I am. Or you can choose something else like Om, which is one of my favorite, you know. And that gets into chanting also, but you can actually just say Om. Om. Notice how I'm going slowly? I'll tell you why. You want to make sure that you access a decelerated brainwave, all right? So mantra is another one of the notes here. I want to talk to you about the brainwaves a little bit and why, different depending on what age you are or what time of the day it is, the affirmations that you're doing, the things that you're thinking about, will actually affect your brain a little bit different. There are beta waves. There are alpha waves. There are theta waves. There are delta waves of brain. And these waves from beta to delta become more and more decelerated, where you might see a beta wave to be a very quick wave. Like we, a lot of us in daily life are in beta wave. Okay? Very quick wave. Notice that the waves, what is that? The amplitude of the wave is short, but the frequency of the wave is frequent. It's often. But then when you start to go into a relaxed state of consciousness, you start to increase the amplitude of the wave, and you decrease the numbers of the waves. And it goes on like that. And of course, these are not necessarily drawn to scale, you understand. It's just to give you the idea that your brain waves start to change. So when you go from a beta brain wave level, that's not generally really psychic. That's why I have to go so that something can relax in there, so that I can access the subconscious or access something else besides this, which we're in most of the time. That's chatter, that's conversation, that's moving very, very quickly. But alpha waves is where you can start to have psychic experiences. When you wake up in the morning or when you go to bed at night, you go into an in-between hypnagogic state of consciousness. During that time, that's a good time to tune in. I like to tune in during that time because I feel like I'm really connected to some deeper, you know, place there, or lucid dream. In the morning, what I do is I like to have a few moments just to lie in bed. And, you know, when that hypnagogic state is when you are asleep, but you're awake enough to enjoy it. Isn't that a great space? You're awake enough to enjoy it. So that's when I travel or visualize, or if I want to tune into something, or if I want to go to Germany and see how some friends there might be doing, I go there, you know, during that time and, you know, get a feeling about something. But that is in the alpha wave state, which we all, like I said, experience at least twice a day. When you see someone just kind of drifting off, daydreaming, they're in alpha. They're looking at something. They're seeing something. And then theta goes down into some very deep sleep ordinarily. Now, notice that the deeper you go, the more decelerated the brain wave, the less conscious you seem to be. For example, for most people, delta wave would be a coma. Okay? This would be coma. But delta waves are emitted by babies. Okay? Babies are in delta wave all the time. Now, here's something a little, I like to say a little commercial break. So we're going to go over to this station over here. We're going to have a commercial break. And this is a commercial break for the children, because you know we all see those commercials on television about the kids. This is a commercial break for the children. I want you all to read. This is a public service announcement commercial. Okay? Children until about the age of 7 years old, even when they're awake and playing, emit alpha waves. The alpha wave state corresponds to the subconscious. That's why if you yell real ugly at a four-year-old, it affects them a lot different than does an eight-year-old. The four-year-old may live with that their whole life in some way. It impresses them. The eight-year-old, you know, by then, they're old enough to know that their parents are stupid sometimes, okay? But the four-year-old doesn't necessarily know that yet. So be very aware of that age from 1 to 7. And also for those of you who are into astrology, we know that approximately age 7 is the first square of the planet Saturn, which is the first realization of form as an independent person in the world. Because, you know, at 7, you're at school, you have friends, you just begin to have a life outside. So that was my public service announcement for kids. Alpha. So if you want to reprogram yourself, if you want to have some self-hypnosis, if you want to go in and give yourself a hypnotic suggestion that you are psychic, that your intuition is opening up, you must do this in alpha. That's like when you see people saying things like, what's an affirmation people like to use? Like, I'm rich, or something like this. And they're going, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. You know, they're in beta brainwaves. It's not sinking in. They can't believe this, you know. You have to kind of, I'm rich. So what you're doing is, the frequency at which you say the affirmation is emulating the frequency of the wave. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what you're doing by relaxing more and more, you're trying to get out of beta, and trying to get down into alpha, which is why several times today I'll have you close your eyes and reconnect to the inside. I want to keep you in psychic work in alpha as much as possible. Now, I was kind of excited this morning when I came in here. I told you that, didn't I? I'm very excited to be here. I really am. I had to calm down. I had to breathe. I had to stand up here and sniff like a dog for you, you know, and get my vibe. I had to get down into alpha. That's what I meant by warming up. I have to get into alpha, hopefully even deeper. I told you a few moments ago that as you go down into the deeper states, that you tend to lose consciousness. But as you become more expert in meditation, you may not lose consciousness in theta. You might be awake. That's like when you're in a dream and you're, oh, I know I'm dreaming. And then you can travel and you can make whatever happens. You are alert of yourself. You might even be so alert that you know where you are in the bed. Does that make sense to you? Okay? So you can actually get more and more conscious at deeper and deeper levels. A lot of people, you bring them into a meditation class, the minute they get into alpha, they're only used to going into alpha for one reason. What is it? To go to sleep. That's the bridge to go to sleep. So the minute you get them into alpha, that tells their brain it's time to sleep. When I get into alpha, I say, okay, where's that person? What are they wearing? Okay, that's my trigger. And it really is true. My God, I have to calm down at night to be able to get to bed. Okay, the price you pay for psychic gifts. You say, it's true. Anyway, so I wanted to tell you that the importance of taking your time when you're doing affirmation work, or you're doing chants or mantras or anything like that. Okay, let's move on a little bit now. I want to go into the next area, into the auric field. Who here has not, series of questions, who does not really know what an aura is, the auric field? Raise your hand if you just really don't know that much about it. You don't know what the auric field is. No, I don't mean art. I mean aura.
Oh, aura.
Aura.
Sorry.
It's okay. Aura. Aura.
Yes.
You know, you do not know what aura is.
Yes, I do.
You do know. Who does not know what aura is? You do not know what aura is? Who has ever seen an aura? Raise your hand. Okay. Who has never seen an aura? Okay. Who has ever felt? Okay, so we have some experience with aura, but we're going to start at the beginning. I'm going to tell you about how I teach people to see aura and a little bit about aura. And the next word, who knows what the word chakra is? Raise your hand. Okay. Who knows what the colors of the chakras are? Okay, good. I want to go through them with you quickly. For those of you who do not know, I want to give you a very quick lesson in the subtle anatomy. Okay. For this, we need to go to Hollywood. We do. Because I have a teaching assistant that works with me who's at a workshop today in Hollywood. And he, however, can fly out of body. And he can very much be with us via satellite. So is a satellite coming through clearly now? Okay, do you see it? Everybody, I'd like to, via satellite, have everybody meet my teaching assistant and my very, very good friend, Chakra Man. Okay, Chakra Man. All right, for those of you who do not know aura, who do not know chakra, very, very quickly, aura is the electromagnetic energy field that surrounds all things that are alive. It has a color, it has a density, it changes according to what? It changes according to mood. Actually, it changes according to anything. Anytime there's a change, the aura field will change. If you are cold, it's a certain way. If you are hot, it's a certain way. If you are happy, it's a certain way. If you are intense, it's a certain way. It changes according to anything that changes on the inside of you, it changes. It changes if a medical condition inside of you changes. That's why there are people who specialize in medical clairvoyance and into the viewing of the aura, the auric field, can tell you a lot of times things that are likely to happen in the body at a future time, because before it happens in the physical body, it happens in the auric field. The auric, how big is the auric field? Just for today, it's bigger than your body. But we can get into there being different bodies of it and so forth. That's not our subject for today. But it's an electromagnetic field that you might think of as surrounding your body, maybe a foot or two, okay, in its first, you know, layer. And when you take a deep breath, it increases. Okay, when you relax, it increases. It allows your natural energy to exude. Have you ever seen the pictures of Jesus or Buddha with a halo? That's an auric field, but that is around the entire body. Have you ever seen a lamp light, a street light, where it's kind of a little foggy outside, and because of the fog, it's glowing and has a glow to it? Or sometimes you see that glow around the moon? Okay, that's like an auric field. Anyway, Chakra Man, we're so happy that you could be with us. He's going to have to tolerate the fact that we don't have all the colors, but I want to identify the seven chakras for you. If the physical body is the gross anatomy, the chakras and the auric field are evidence of the subtle anatomy. Okay, subtle and gross anatomy. We have seven chakras. I'm going to identify them for you. One is at the base of the spine. One is at the navel. One is at the solar plexus. One is at the heart level. One's at the throat. One is at the brow, which is the third eye, which I referred to earlier. And one is at the crown center. There are other chakras as well, but these are the seven major chakras that relate to different states of consciousness. I want to tell you that chakra means wheel, okay, a wheel of light. And the chakras traditionally have the colors of the rainbow. Notice there's seven colors in the rainbow, there's seven colors in the chakras. We go from the first chakra being red. Then we go to orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo for the brow, and violet for the crown. These are not universal truths because it's not true for everybody, because different people can have different functions in their chakras. The chakras relate to different functions physiologically. So, for example, if someone's, well, let's say maybe the solar plexus chakra is off somehow, that means their adrenal system might also be off a little bit. If I see a particular kind of orange static in an auric field, that a lot of times will tell me there's something there with the kidneys. Okay, it's a kind of brownish orange static. There is significance to color. What the color in general, for example, a very red, bright aura indicates there's a lot of energy. There might be anger. There might be passion. It's a hot energy. Okay, it's a root chakra energy. As you make the journey through the chakras go in progression from being very dense to being very subtle. For example, this root chakra has all of your emotions and all of your belief systems about staying alive, about surviving. Okay, the next chakra is very much involved with the function of pleasure and sex, because once you've survived, then you want to go to the next level and enjoy things. All right, and then the next level is power. This is your power center. Think of the adrenals in corresponding to that. You want to have a sense of control over your world, control over your environment in some way, affecting the world. And then you get more and more subtle. We go now to love. You've got survival handled. You feel established in the world. Now you can evolve to love, to communication, to intuition, and to freedom, to liberation. So that's why you see the renditions of Buddha with the, you know, with the lotus flower in full bloom. That's the most subtle enlightenment that he has achieved, beyond the third eye, at oneness and enlightenment with the universe. This is a very quick rendition of the chakras, just because I want, for those of you who do not know what chakras are, do you have some understanding of what they are? They are actually there. They are not in, they're not in the physical body, but they correspond to places along the spine. Anything that you do, doesn't matter what it is, to focus attention on a chakra makes that chakra expand. So if you do a technique of visualization where you take one breath for each of the chakras and bring your attention from root to navel on up, that expands the chakras. It is said that you cannot, that things go right, things just tend to fall into place when your chakras are in alignment. When your chakras are not in alignment, you feel like things aren't going well. You're off center, you know, somehow. So you can take a moment, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sit down, take a deep breath, and actually align the chakras by beginning at the root and going on up to, you know, the crown center and feeling some sort of an alignment. All right. If you see a predominant color in an aura, that can tell me where someone might be obsessed or fixated, okay? Or it might tell about their general tendencies or interest according to the color of that would go with that particular chakra. For example, I told you that the heart center is green. I was telling Randy earlier that he has a lot of nice soft green in his auric field, and this would be the indication of someone with some healing abilities who's meant to do laying on of hands and this kind of thing. And I also see this sometimes in doctors, not usually, but sometimes, but frequently in nurses, okay, who have that nice green, which is the most predominant color in nature, evergreens, that indicates a healing, a loving person, okay, a gentle person, perhaps a heart-centered person who has compassion. That's what that color really is about to me. It's a color that has compassion. If you have someone who has a lot of blue in their aura, which is, by the way, a very common predominant color in aura, someone who probably is very creative. People who like to talk, like me, I have a lot of blues in my aura. I can't stop talking. I can talk fast. I can talk slow. I can talk any way you want. And I can keep talking. I don't even have to talk. I can just sit there and look, too. But but I like, in other words, I like to communicate. That's a predominant color. If you are a writer, you might have predominantly blues. You might have softer pastel blues if you are an artist. If you are a visionary artist, you might have these kind of colors, violets and things, the very, very spiritual sorts of colors. If you are very athletic, then you might tend to have also some of these colors down here, oranges and reds and so forth, because they involve, you know, movement and running and a lot of physical exertion. Here we are very physical, the lower this end down here. Here we're very spiritual and subtle, this end up here. So I tell you this so that when you start to see auras, you might get some sort of a feel by getting a glimpse of an aura, what's going on in that person, what their type is. And when you, yes, you have a question.
Excuse me, about the photos. I had a photo taken.
Aura photos. Yes, aura photos are not auras. I don't care. I don't care if the machine costs $10,000. But it is valuable. It does help, and you can get accurate information from it. Curlian photography is the scientific procedure. Curlian, for those of you who have never heard of this. By which auric fields are photographed. And I did have some photographs, I apologize, I forgot them, of some auric fields done by Curlian photography, where the electromagnetic field is actually measured. I can describe a couple things about these photographs, not the kind you're talking about, though, but these are actual Curlian photographs, where you can put two finger pads together, okay, in the photograph, and just a normal state of nothing special, just a photograph. But then another photograph, you have the two people imaged that they're intimate with each other. Same fingers. And suddenly the auric, the photograph changes. Instead of it being like emanations of like, it almost looks like a little sunshine emanating out of these fingers. It becomes red, and one field surrounds both of those finger pads. Another photograph that I have is a photograph of one of the folks being asked to visualize that he or she was piercing the other one's finger, just not to actually do it, but piercing it with a needle. And then it was photographed, and there was a split in the energy. It was very big, and there was a dark spot there. So if you don't think negative energy affects you, you better look at some Curlian photography. Okay, so that means if someone is just radiating, first of all, I appreciate the fact that every single person in this room is radiating very positive energy. Okay, I can feel that. Because if someone isn't, I usually go over and stand next to them a long time, and I'll say, you know what? There's something about you that's zapping my energy. And I tell them that, because you can just have one person in a room scowling at you that affects the whole room. You only need to have one person in the room having to pee, and you can feel it. Okay? So you can imagine what that is like. So you can do that. And that might be the only true meaning of witchcraft or black magic is a negative thought. But you don't have to be affected by that, because you have learned something very important today. What is it? You have learned, oh, it's gone, how to exude. Chakra Man knows how to exude. It doesn't look really happy. Okay. Well, he knows how to exude. So if you keep your energy up and you're positive, that's not going to affect you quite so much. That's what people talk about when they say, you got to surround yourself with some protection. I don't focus on protection too much. You know, white light around me and all that. I already know I have white light around me. I can take a deep breath and say white light, and there it is. Okay? I love to be in a building with an elevator, because as I'm going down the elevator, that's always my post-hypnotic suggestion to say to myself, especially, I love it when other people are in the elevator with me, because I go, God, give me all the love I can handle. That is one... That is one of my very favorite affirmations. And when I've said it for so many years that I immediately just feel wrapped, you know, in something. It just comes out of me, and it comes down from somewhere and around me and everywhere. I feel like I'm the north, the south, the west, and the east all at the same time. But that's a thing that I did for myself, which you may borrow. I tell myself I did it years ago as a post-hypnotic suggestion that whenever I'm in an elevator, I remember to say the affirmation, God, give me all the love I can handle. Because we are frequently in elevators, and then suddenly when you have a question.
John, do you find that children stare at you when you have that light on?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Children and dogs.
Why do they?
They do, because they're noticing something about it, and they can, you know, sense that, or they're attracted to it, because especially a child that is used to being around very negative people, mm-hmm. or let's say is not in a happy home in some way, and then suddenly sees, wait a minute, why is there this great light around you all when mm-hmm. people at home, you know, a little bit,
right.
Their auras are muddy or angry or, you know,
these
what, so
babies,
forth?
You know, like
exactly.
A year and then older.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Children and dogs, no. I used to always tell my mother when I was a kid who liked her and who didn't, and I always used to be right. And I like to be right, yeah. By the way. Do you have a question?
I always find that on an airplane. If there's little kids and they're screaming and crying, mm-hmm. I always end up with them. And they're very quiet and very happy.
Yeah.
And parents will look at me like, what did I do to them? Because mm-hmm. they're suddenly calm.
Do you do massage or anything like that?
I receive a lot of massage.
You receive a lot of massage, but let me tell you what, because you would be so perfect. I just want to come over here and say, touch me. You know? Because you have that similar kind of, when I got over here. Okay, same thing. You have that similar kind of healing energy over here that Randy has. I've been feeling that. Okay. So, curly in photography, auras, you got the point of what an aura is. Does anyone not have the point? Philip, you have a question.
About what you do in the elevator. Why is it you do that?
In the elevator?
Yeah.
Oh, because we frequently forget to do our affirmations. So you want to make an association. And I like the elevator because it goes up and down. You know, and I especially like it if it's going up. If it goes down, doesn't matter. But I just know that that's my cue. Or, you know, like I would tell you, when you wake up out of this trance, every time you hear the word cake, you are going to be starving for cake, and you are going to go to the grocery store and get some Little Debbies. Oh, my God. Cancel clear. My goodness. I just put a spell on you. You're going to be wanting Little Debbies. Okay. You know, that's why I use it. I just use that as an association, that I just tell myself that when I'm in an elevator, because it's frequent enough that it happens, but it's not every day or all day that I have to, it's special, in other words. It makes me remember to actually do that sometimes. So that's why I pick the elevator.
Do you do it in a full elevator?
I don't care if anyone's in there or not. And you know what? People in elevators are so happy when you talk to them. You know, they really are. You know, they really are. Because, you know, people in elevators are like, you're just hoping that elevator's going to get to that floor because you don't know what to say to these people. You don't know how to, you know, anything. So you know what I usually say? Do you know what I like about elevators? You get a chance to be close to people that you ordinarily wouldn't be close to. Because even if you go to the other side of the room, you can't get very far. Okay? And then if you get in a real crowded elevator, like, you know, like you have in New York in some of the office buildings, and you're going down, if you start to whistle like that, you know, people kind of, you know, turn around and look at you and so forth, and you say, you know what, this is what I love about New York. Everyone is so close. And it's true. You know, you think of New Yorkers. I consider myself a part New Yorker because I love New York. You think of New Yorkers as being gruff and, you know, they'll run you over and all that, but in New York, we are close. Have you ever been on the subway in New York during rush hour? We are close people in New York City. So that's why I do it. I answer your question?
Yeah.
It's an association.
John,
just to give me, yes?
You can, I turn that white light on if, you know, I'm in a dark, kind of a questionable area.
Uh-huh.
I do.
Okay.
I can make a huge white light around me.
Mm-hmm. And that works. As we're talking about, like, some people use protection,
yes.
Where you take a deep breath, and you start to exude this incredible light, and then don't hang around there any longer than you have to. Well, I say, you know what? You have 24 hours in the day, you have 365 days in the year, you have a certain amount of days to live. Try to be where you want to be. That's what I say. It's that simple. Okay. Does anyone not got the point of aura?
May I share one other?
Yes, you may.
Very personal,
yes.
Experience. I drive very often at night at 2 or 3 in the morning down to the terminal annex, which mm-hmm. for mailing. And I one time last summer, a police officer stopped me and said, he said, I see you driving down here a lot. You've got your windows open, your dog hanging out one window, and your windows open, and you're just driving along. He said, this is a very dangerous part of town. You should drive with your windows
mm-hmm.
open. Why did he do that? I'm totally comfortable with my windows open. I don't worry about anything.
Conditioning, that's why he did that.
Conditioning.
It's conditioning, and he's used to that. And police people are very, very cautious. And you would be if most of what you're doing all the time is investigating people who are doing things to other people. But yeah, that's why he does it. It's conditioning. Protective. Just like parents are protective. Okay. Everyone got the point of aura. All right, now, here we're going to do. Chakra Man, we would like to thank you for being our special guest here today. I can feel it. Can you feel it? We're starting to lose a satellite transmission. too bad. Too late. We've lost contact with our satellite. Okay, let's go on to then a new part of this. I would like to have whoever the because we said we're gonna do some aura work with you. What is your name again? Wendy, come up here, please. Great. You know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to call you in about 3 minutes.